Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, that brings us to item 3 on the agenda today, and that is approval of minutes. The only minutes for approval today are from the May 20th, 2019 assembly meeting. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
A motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Walhutter to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any changes anybody wants to make? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, item 4, amendment and approval of today's meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve today's meeting agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Morrell. So if there's no amendments to today's agenda as presented, will the clerk please call? For all those in favor of the meeting as agenda as presented, please say aye.
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 Okay. We'll move forward with the agenda as we see it in front of us. There are no public hearings under item 5 today. No bid awards today, which brings us to item 7, and that is persons to be heard related to the agenda. So persons wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak to any items on the agenda? Please step to the microphone, state your name and who you represent, please.
My name is Tom Laurent, and I wish to speak. I represent myself, and I wish to speak to the fireworks ordinance.
Okay.
I think you are going to have the third as a another day on the ordinance, because the main show that is shot here by the pyrotechnicians in town is trying to be moved to the third. And you're going to have a lot of people shooting fireworks, even illegally, around that show. That's one. And number two, I think you're going to need to have a mechanism for anybody who would like a private celebration with fireworks added to the ordinance, in order for them to have a small show around, say, a wedding, something along those lines, without having to go through the full state of Alaska protocol and having to have a pyrotechnician and get the specialized insurance, the specialized permits and such. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in the audience today that would like to speak on items related to today's agenda? Seeing none, that brings us to item 8. This is persons to be heard with items unrelated to today's agenda. So if there's anybody that has a subject not on today's agenda, they may share those views at this time.
I'm Bill Trembler, representing myself. In April 2016, the Federal Highway Administration issued a notice to advise the public that they and the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Services would no longer prepare an environmental impact statement for the Cake Access Project. This decision was made after several years of analysis, public meetings held in affected communities. The process also included a phone survey to better assess the perceived need. The department commissioner determined that the project wouldn't be prudent given the state's physical situation. Also, it was estimated that maintaining this road would cost more than $500,000 a year. As someone who participated in those meetings, I was a bit taken off guard hearing people who are supposed to represent the community at the federal, state, and local levels now talking about how the Cake Access Road might be going forward. No new information was brought to the table, but let's discuss some of the items that were brought up in this presentation. Senator Stedman spoke about how road maintenance is based on potential traffic between communities. Yet he ignores 3 years of analysis that identified the costs were too high for the levels of traffic expected. Let's not forget the state representative to the meetings had the expectations that the Petersburg-based state highway maintenance crews would be performing those tasks. Senator Stedman also noted the tragic flight of the air ambulance in January and how incidents like this might not have been avoided if the Cake Access Road was in place. Petersburg regularly has air ambulance services provided because medical services are beyond what this community can provide. The Cake Road would do nothing to change this need for either community. Also, really, do you really think our maintenance staff would be working on this road in January when their primary efforts are focused on keeping our runways clear and for jet traffic? Senator Sullivan said he sees this road as being similar to the King Cove Road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Again, there's no comparison. Cake has an airport. King Cove does not. Our local official brought up a red herring about timber sales. Go on Google Maps sometime and take a look at this where this route has been proposed in the past. There have been plenty of timber sales already. And before advocating for more timber sales, I would still think we need to still be addressing the theft of services that occurred on the Big Thorn and Tonka contracts that have not been resolved. If the road wasn't affordable 3 years ago, what has changed to make it affordable now? The ferry service is barely hanging on now, and these road maintenance dollars would just take more from it. Processes are put in place to avoid wasting time, money, and effort on projects that don't meet a proposed need. I'm disappointed that representatives at our local level, state levels, and federal levels would choose to ignore the outcome of a three-year analysis and the people who participated in helping to come to those conclusions. The money not wanted, not wasted on the Cake Access Road, should be rolled back into the ferry system. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you for your testimony. Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience today with items or unrelated to items on the agenda today? Now's the time to speak on those views. Is there anyone in the audience? This is unrelated on today's agenda, so...
Oh, okay.
Did you want to talk to something that's on the agenda?
I was going to address
about
the budget. Is that all right?
Yeah,
still,
sure.
I apologize for that. I was on another...
We all have busy schedules.
Yeah.
We're not trying to set records. They're just nothing early on the agenda.
That's all right. 1:07. So. Thank you for hearing me today. I won't take too much time. Of course, we're all dealing with the fun of budgets this time of year and trying to sort through all the difficulties of that and... while also not having any real information from the state, still no budget there. So just thinking about recognizing the difficult budget decisions that you guys are all dealing with, that we're all dealing with as well, I'm here to thank you for your continued stable support of our schools by maintaining the $1.8 million local contribution. As always, we appreciate that so we can have that consistency. In these ridiculously trying times at the state level, this is crucial. At this point, the legislature and governor are still at a stalemate, and there is no state budget. Education funding in particular is being held hostage. July 1st is the deadline to pass an operating budget, but the bigger concern for school districts is actually the July 15th date, when the state of Alaska is scheduled to release the first month of school funding for fiscal year 2020. It is quite likely, looking at everything we're getting from all of our people in Juneau, that these funds will not be released based on the governor's own statement. Legislature's preparing to move forward with legal action, preparing for a lawsuit actually to sue for the release of those funds to schools. They're going to wait to see what happens on July 1st, but they are prepared for that and they have made that statement. If these funds aren't released in July, we will be using our reserves to move forward to get through the summer with our own regular maintenance projects and our, you know, our typical projects that we have going on. We do have very limited staff in the summer, but we'd have to look at all those things too. The issue for us will come in September when we're faced with that first large payroll. As you guys all know, we can only carry forward a certain amount of money in our unreserved account in our fund balance. We can only carry forward 10%, which is about 6 to 8 weeks of operating costs. We would likely be coming to talk to you all potentially about secure rural schools funding if we end up in that sort of predicament. We'll see what happens with the lawsuit that might be coming. As you guys are dealing with the governor's proposal as well about bond debt, school bond debt. So, while I can't really control what happens, you know, at your level and how you choose to do that, the pot of money that we always know we have set aside is that secure rural schools money. So if we're talking about utilizing that for, you know, a number of different issues to help keep things moving forward, it can only go so far. And I know we're all interested in maintaining that fund balance as much as we possibly can moving forward. So I think this is also kind of addressing the proposed amendment that you guys are looking at today with the budget, talking about property taxes. Again, that's a bigger discussion for the community and the borough at large. I have my own, you know, personal opinions, but I think for us it's just mostly the concern about where, if you're looking to use that as a tool, that might be a good tool. I'm concerned about utilizing secure rural schools funds to potentially pay that bond debt. And again, we don't know what's going to happen with that. You guys don't know, and we don't know either. So I appreciate that you're trying to look forward and making some decisions about where that might go. Do you guys have any questions for me? Or
thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you for your testimony. Okay, that brings us, we'll jump back to item 8 and see if there's anybody interested in talking about issues not on today's agenda. Okay, seeing no hands go up, we're going to move on to item 9, board, commission, and committee reports. There are none on today's agenda. There are no items under item 10, consent agenda today. No report of other officers other than the mayor, myself, and the manager. So I'll start with my mayor's report, which is fairly short. I added a few things to it that aren't on the printed agenda, but nothing real earth-shattering. Item 1, Alaska Conference of Mayors phone call with Senator Murkowski was canceled. She was busy that day, and they're going to try to reschedule it, and I haven't seen a new time, so there's nothing to report there. The next item on the mayor's report is congratulations on retirement to Magistrate Burrell. Magistrate Desi Burrell retired from the state of Alaska court system on May 10th, 2019, after over 20 years of service to Petersburg. Thank you, Magistrate Burrell, for your hard work and dedication. Enjoy your retirement, and it looks like she is already. So the next item is Alaska Municipal League. This is pretty exciting. It was an If I Were Mayor essay contest, and the winner was Elias Ward from Petersburg Goff Middle School. He's a sixth grader, and he won the If I Were Mayor essay contest sponsored by the Alaska Municipal League with his idea of establishing a government-run cannery in Petersburg, dedicating all profits to pay for municipal services and lower utility costs for everyone. Mr. Ward won $100 and an award certificate that were presented to him by Vice Mayor Stanton Greger on May 30th. At the end of the school year awards assembly. A copy of the essay is attached to this report. Congratulations, Mr. Ward, and thank you, Member Stanton Greger, for stepping in and doing that. I was unavailable. Last week, in a fisherman's meeting with John Woodruff from Icicle Seafoods, he touched on a little topic that was kind of interesting to me and being talked about around town. It's nothing official yet, but Ocean Beauty Seafoods and Icicle Seafoods are talking about a merger of some kind. They were told not to say anything about it by their attorney, but then there was a blog that came out and kind of got the story out into the public, and he gave us the information he could, and he said Icicle operations will remain the same for this summer, but there is discussion between the two fish processing businesses, companies. The Juneau Borough, as I think all the assembly members, got a map sent to them from Manager Giesbrecht And we, Steve and I, received an email from Rory Watt, the manager in Juneau, from the city and borough of Juneau, and they plan to expand their borough. They've applied to the local boundary commission, and there's a map, and if anybody's interested in it, they could probably just go to the local boundary commission or the Juneau's website, and I don't know if you've posted it on ours, Steve. No. So, yeah, there's like four different chunks of land they're looking at. Three of them are on Admiralty Island, and one of them is on the mainland, kind of behind our northern boundary up by Endicott Arm. So if anybody's interested, I'm sure you can find the maps. And another item that we need to discuss later in the meeting, it was on discussion items. The clerk wanted their meeting quorums, and I'd like, if it's all right with the assembly, to move it forward to this time because we might need to talk about that as far as a potential special meeting later in the week to see if anything comes out of the vote by the House of Representatives yesterday and the Senate today to pass the operating budget, to see if the governor's taking any position on a couple things in particular, like vetoing what the both bodies put in there for funding the school bond indebtedness. And that's important to us on one of our topics on the agenda today, the mill rate. So the what would work for assembly members later in the week, before Friday, let's say. And all we need is four for a quorum in the room, and if people are leaving and they could call in, that would be great too. So this is just a discussion that the clerk and I had before the meeting. So
Thursday works for me, Mark.
Thursday? Mm-hmm. Member Muchief, since we're on that end?
I'll be out of town, Mr. Mayor.
But available to call in at all, or...?
If we do it in the evening, probably.
Okay.
Like 4 or 5 o'clock.
In the evening. Okay, well, that would work for me. I better back up a little bit on the calendar. We're not into August yet. Thursday's been a day thrown out. Does that work for Assemblymember Morrell?
At 4:30 would be best for me, but I guess everyone has their schedule.
I'll be on a jet and unavailable for the day.
I could be there. I'd have to look at my notes on the calendar at home. I think I'm getting bait at 4:30, but I'm sure I could bump it up earlier in the day, so or later. So that would work for me. What's the consensus on the other end of the table, Diocese?
I'm putting the boat on the ways probably in the morning Wednesday and then launching Thursday, but I'm sure I could have my dad do that if I need to be here.
Okay, so Member Lynn?
I'll be here.
Okay, so potentially 4:30 would work. Debbie, you have that?
I do.
If necessary, so we have a time we could refer to later in the meeting if need be.
Certainly.
Okay, and that's all I have under the mayor's report, so that brings us to the manager's report. Steve, please.
Thank you, sir. I want to put out some congratulations to longtime Harbor staff member Jim Birch, who retired on May 1st. Borough, as well as the Harbor Department, thanks him for all of his years of service. Jody's working with PCS to set up an employee portal so employees can actually access their payroll information online. She's also continuing to work with PCS on designing and creating a new sales tax software module to handle all of our various exemptions and reporting needs. This will take some time. I mean, we might be 6 months to a year out before, as they're just starting the gathering of information. I don't believe they've even started the programming yet. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation will be here, doing a physical and administrative inspection at the manor. We have other facility inspections are in full swing, including sprinkler system, fire alarms, extinguishers, DEC, and more. Scout Bay Pump Station upgrade project is out to bid. The pre-bid meeting was held on June 11th. Wastewater Department has been accepting tree limbs and slash near the treatment plant on 14th Street, and it has allowed us to continue having a steady supply of material for the composting program. We've kind of run into a problem. We need the public to kind of take a hard look at what they're bringing up there. Kind of the following rules or guidelines should be used before dropping materials off. No limbs or logs larger than 6 inches in diameter. No limbs or logs shorter than 3 feet in length. no lumber that is rotten, covered in dirt, or has any nails or screws, and no salmonberry bushes, yard waste, or trash. Unfortunately, if some of this continues, we'll have to do a different process to keep the compost clean enough that we can use it. The hydropower lakes, in some cases, have responded to spring snowmelt, particularly Tyee, but it's mostly gone, the inflows at this point. Precipitation continues to be hard to come by, and the National Weather Service has upgraded us to an extreme drought condition for the southern portions of southeast Alaska. We have reduced generation at Crystal Lake to conserve water in that reservoir, and this is going to be something we're likely going to have to watch all summer and into the fall. CEPA will also consider the adoption of a revised operations plan. I see that on the agenda, so I'm not going to go into that. I want to thank the line crew that they were in the process of installed an additional sectionalizing switch in Hungry Point the week of June 3rd through the 7th. This switch will allow Power and Light to better control the loads on the system after an outage. Summer Stream, which is the library's summer reading and learning challenge, runs June 3rd through July 18th. The number of donors and amount donated by local individuals and business was up nearly 30% this year. Just want to thank to all of those who contribute to making this program a success. Free children's activities will be offered Monday through Thursday throughout the program. Details at the Petersburg Library website. And the school district's summer food program will be serving lunch Monday through Friday at the library through August 9th. Congratulations to Lori Steenbach, who is retiring from the Petersburg Police Department with 19 years of service. We also had our two longest-serving streets department employees, Foreman Ron Ware and utility worker Don Duke, retired on May 31st. Congratulations to Martin Odegaard as the acting foreman, and we are currently advertising for a utility worker or laborer to replace Don Duke's position. Due to the retirements and ongoing budget uncertainty, the streets crew is likely to be operating a bit shorthanded for much of the summer and possibly into the fall season. We hope to have that resolved and an answer on what the state's going to do before the snow comes. Public Works did complete a long-deferred project to replace a failed storm drain on Harbor Way adjacent to the pilot building and parking lot. That went great. And just kind of a general congratulations to a lot of folks. In the month of May, we had some new employees join the borough. Jesse Birchall as a harbor security officer, Colin Perry in Parks and Rec, Nicholas Herman Sakamoto, sanitation operator, and Austin Dow as a facilities specialist. And then we had some folks celebrate some anniversaries in May. Tanya Carr, head cook for 5 years, Jeff Davidson, wastewater operator for 3 years, Sandra Dixon, EMS fire director for 18 years. Sam Hoshar, motor pool mechanic, 3 years. Karen Malcolm, admin assistant, 2 for 7 years. Robbie Scaduto, resident assistant for 1 year. Nori Stuber, 10 years as resident assistant supervisor. Lori, she gets 18 years in May and then retires on us, but congratulations to her. Ed Tagabon, as the security officer and admin assistant in the harbor for 19 years, and our harbor master for Glory Ann Wallen for 30 years with the borough. So please, if you see these folks, give them a big congratulations. Mm-hmm. The updated community center schedule for summer is June 1st through September 3rd. We are open Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday. Open swim is now longer. We're going to have it from 3 to 7 Tuesday through Friday and 1 to 3 on Saturdays. Open gym is all day long, 6 a.m. to 7:30. Some of the upcoming meetings and events. 4th of July meeting is tomorrow. It's on the 11th, 12 p.m. at Glacier Express. Everyone is invited to join us. We've got summer camp Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 3 for $150 a week. This week's camp is full. Following weeks are still open, which is Junior Olympics, the 11th through the 14th, mini cheer camp for the younger kids, June 18th through the 21st, cheer camp from the 25th to the 28th, and mindfulness on from July 9th through the 12th. Science camp, the 16th to the 19th, and the Olympics, 7:23 through 7:26. During the facility closure, we actually were able to get quite a bit done up at the pool area. We retrofitted and replaced all the pool lights with brand new color-changing LED lights and fixed all of those that were not operational. The inside of the pool was pressure washed and thoroughly cleaned. New tiles were placed in the leisure pool. A new CO2 dispenser system was installed in the pool maintenance room. The sauna was rebuilt and is still in the finalization process. Pool locker rooms were painted and cleaned. We are going to have to plan for a new floor in the locker rooms. The grouting around the tile structure is coming off and flaking off. Gives the floor a kind of a gritty appearance and feel. And every time we go to clean it, it brings up more grout. So we're trying to get some quotes from a contractor on what it would take to fix that. On the showers, we wanted to change to an automatic shutoff system. Some of our younger members have a problem sometimes remembering to turn the showers off. Unfortunately, the quote we got was much higher than we had budgeted, so we're going to try to look at some other possible solutions up there. We did caulk and wax the slide. The carpets were freshly cleaned. The weight rooms were all cleaned. The upstairs mezzanine floor was refinished and waxed. And we are continuing to have a problem with light fixtures throughout the facility. We've tried changing out light bulbs, but kind of looks like it's the fixtures that are the problem. And most of our fixtures in the facility are no longer made and will require a total retrofit. So project we'll have to look at and price out before we bring it back to the assembly at some point. And then just congratulations to everybody that was involved with the Memorial Day celebrations at the cemetery. Jesse and Colin had everything really nice up there, and the veterans worked with the Boy Scouts to set up the veteran markers on the graves. So thank you, and that's it. Unless your question.
All right. I have one question about the lights in the pool. Is that the lights that we contracted out? Maybe it's longer ago.
That was the ceiling lights.
Right, the ones over the pool.
Right. The ones that were replaced were the in-pool lights.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Good. Any other questions of the manager? Okay, seeing none. That brings us back on track here on the agenda. Unfinished business. First item under unfinished business is Ordinance 2019-03. This is an ordinance adopting the budget for fiscal year July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Mucci. Discussion. This was one of the topics on the agenda that I had a conversation with the finance director and the clerk before the meeting, and this was one of the topics. We were wondering if we could move to potentially the Thursday meeting we talked about in the mayor's report to see if we could get more information of what the governor might do with the budget that's been presented to him from the legislature. Member Lynn?
Yes, thank you. You know, I've got some concerns about raising the mill rate in Service Area 1 to cover the bond debt that we might have to do. Whether we have a decision by the governor on Thursday or not, I don't know, you know. But it's worth a chance to wait and have a special meeting to look at that, in my opinion. I'd prefer not have to do that, or if we have to do that, I would prefer that we put it into a fund, and Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes into a fund specifically to pay for the bond debt, so it can't be used for anything else. Am I correct on that?
Yes, you are.
And I'm not so sure if that would be something, well, we could discuss it here, but would that be better discussed underneath the resolution to set the mill rate, or we could discuss it here, and I guess one of the trains of thought was to maybe have that resolution and the third reading of the budget both discussed on that Thursday special meeting. Am I correct on assuming that, Debbie? Is that what we were thinking?
That is what we were talking about, correct. And I just heard on the radio before the meeting during the noon hour that the governor has to make his final decisions by the 27th of June. And Jody came in and mentioned prior to the meeting, she wondered if, so our next normal regular meeting would be next Monday the 17th. She was wondering, and maybe we won't have a quorum, but she was wondering about maybe moving that meeting to the 24th, and if we would actually have a quorum on that day, maybe rather than the special meeting this week, we could wait till the 24th, give a little bit more time even, but it's all dependent upon quorum, of course.
And that gives us time to address what we need to do setting the mill rate.
We will be a little late. Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah, so the budget is due by the 15th, and the mill rate is supposed to be set by the 15th, but we talked to our attorney this morning, and she said, you know, because of the extenuating circumstances, that we could hold off doing it. I need a few days to calculate the mill rate, print invoices, get them ready for mailing on July 1st. So the 24th would be sufficient time for that. And I think the later we can wait, the better, just to see what happens. We don't want to tax more than we have to. We might have to, but at least this way it would give us a little bit more time.
Just looking for maximum time, I think, is
which
the thought.
Makes sense to me, because I've talked to one person that's the manager of a lending agency here in town, and it would, you know, be confusion for them. They do it every year, you know, adjust the mortgage payments from people on their escrow accounts for that pay their property tax, but a 15% increase like this could potentially be would be pretty big. And then if we voted to do that, and the banks, for instance, did that to raise to their customers, and then the governor didn't veto it, then they have to get the money back, and it's pretty complicated.
They wouldn't get them.
Issue it could be what they wouldn't. I mean, they would maybe put it towards their next mortgage payment or something, right? I mean, if you...
No, so the escrow company would send it to the borough, and then we would hold it in our debt service fund to next year.
Oh, gotcha.
The problem is also if we don't collect the higher mill rate, and then the state decides they're not going to fund any of it, and then they decide not to do it next year either, we're going to have to double the mill rate increase. So we don't want to do that. We feel like if we could just wait as long as possible, it's probably the best option right now.
Member Stanton Gregor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That all makes sense. My only concern with it is I highly doubt we'll have seven of us again with the way the season is beginning right now. And it's the final reading of the budget, and we have an obligation to the citizens to make sure one gets passed. Call me pessimistic, just for the sake of argument, but if we have four people here who can't agree on one piece of that budget, we don't have a working budget at that point.
True.
And I just want to make sure we can find a workable way to honor our commitment to the citizens of Petersburg and get a budget passed appropriately. But I understand all of what you're saying, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Member Mucci, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I agree with what Jay had to say. It'd be nice to kind of kick the budget out the door while we're all here. And then deal with the mill rate and whatever we get from the governors after that. I think while we're here, and if we have the opportunity, we've spent several months talking about the budget, and if we can't do it today, possibly we could do it on the 24th. I'll be back in town on the 24th, but participating via teleconference, while it is doable, is kind of it's detrimental. So, yeah, I'd like to see it passed today and worry about the mill rate as we get.
Member Lynn, did you have a comment?
I did, but I'll forego. But Debbie has a comment.
No, I just was going to say, Jody, didn't our attorney say that we could pass the budget if this mill rate increase is added to the budget,
mm-hmm.
as if we were going to do the mill rate, then we could wait to pass the resolution until we know more, because the truth is, the budget's not really going to change. The money's going to come from somewhere. It's either going to come from property taxes or it's going to come from the state. So the only thing that would change in the budget itself is where it's coming from. So is that correct? I just wanted to make sure.
Yes. If they approve this amendment and then approve the budget, and then later on we can discuss the mill rate at the next meeting, if there's a quorum, hopefully. I just need to be sure that there's a quorum, because I need a mill rate passed
at
the 24th.
Or we have our special meeting this week.
Correct. Member Walhooter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a clarification here, Jody. So let's assume we pass this budget as it is currently before us, and then the state chooses to pay for the school bond indebtedness. What happens to the mill rate then for the listening public?
So if the assembly approved the budget that's right now without the amendments, mm-hmm. and then the state, sorry.
I just said, you know, if we pass this with the increased mill rate.
Oh, with the
and then the state
mill rate,
then
okay.
comes along.
Yeah.
Then what happens to that mill rate
then
increase?
Then the state comes along and pays it?
Yes.
Yeah, then it would stay in the special revenue fund for bond payments, mm-hmm. and it would only go to that, and then next year, hopefully, it'll go down, yeah. the mill rate.
Okay.
Yes.
Member Lynn?
Yeah. Back to Jody again. If we choose to keep the mill rate the same and we don't get the money, then the only, in our discussion, the only other option we have is to take it out of the PILT funds.
No. Well, there's probably a few different options. We could take it out of the general fund. We could take it out of Secure Rural Schools funds. excuse me. But that those would just be loans because those funds are borough-wide funds.
Right.
And this debt is only for Service Area 1. So it would need to be repaid somehow.
Member Waller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Maybe a follow-up for you too, Jody. Could we do a supplemental budget later on to put that mill rate increase in if we needed it?
Well, no, we'd have to do a supplemental property tax levy as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be, well, first of all, it's not written in our ordinance that we could even do a supplemental tax levy. And two, it would be very confusing for property tax owners who have never gotten a supplemental tax bill ever that I'm aware of. And three, it would also confuse mortgage companies, I'm sure. I'm getting another bill later on when they think that they're done. So yeah, we talked about all these options and I'm right there with you. Like we're trying not to have to do it. And so that's why I think waiting until as late as possible in the game is probably the wisest decision.
Member Stanton-Greger?
Got it. So following your lead and yours, mm-hmm. Director Tao, that we could get the budget done with whatever amendments you want to do and deal with the setting the mill rate, formally setting it afterwards. I'm just going to move ahead with that unless someone stops me. So I would like to amend the budget to adjust the property tax levy to account for the state of Alaska's portion of school bond debt reimbursement. A surplus of $6,811 will remain in the FY 2020 general fund proposed budget balance.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made by Member Stanton-Greger, seconded by Member Mucci, to adjust the property tax levy to account for the state of Alaska's portion of school bond debt reimbursement, and that's assuming they don't pay it.
Yep.
Member Stanton-Greger?
Thanks. It's a good defensive move against what the state is potentially going to do. I don't like more property tax. No one does. I think it's a pretty fair and broad statement. That said, I like this defensive posture of this because if we do, the state does honor its obligation to Petersburg schools, then we can, like Director Tao was saying, we get a, you know, lower property taxes next year or tax rebates. And the money isn't going into like a slush fund that can be used for a motor pool or anything else. It's, you know, set aside specifically for schools. So I don't particularly like it, but I think it's the best deal we can get in terms of honoring our commitment to our school district. So I'll be voting for this amendment right now.
Okay, I have a question for Jody. So this amendment is basically mirroring the resolution?
The mill rate, correct.
Increase?
Yeah.
So that would bring the mill rate up to 13 mills?
Well, it's not going to bring the mill rate up until you approve the mill rate resolution, but yes,
it's in
will.
The budget.
Yes.
All right. And in our discussion, and I just happened to step in late in the discussion where yourself and the clerk and Member Lynn were talking with the attorney. There are other options, and you said we could just borrow the money from Secure Rural Schools or from the general fund?
We could, but if this happens again next year, then we're looking at recouping 2 years' worth of mm-hmm. bond debt service, which would be 3.4 mil increase instead of the 1.7 mil increase.
Right. So I just thought I'd share this information with the Assembly, and I believe the manager has spoken recently with our lobbyist today, with Ray Matuszewski, and I talked to him, and I also talked to Senator Stedman over the weekend about the budget, and they don't know for sure. Nobody does know for sure. But they, if they had to give an odds as to the governor vetoing school bond and debt reimbursement, like the House and the Senate have passed, it would be like 15% that he would do it. He's getting a lot of flack from it over that statewide. So I just thought I would share that information with the Assembly so we're all, have the same information. I'm not in favor of raising the taxes at this time if we have a couple mechanisms that we could, cover that debt if the governor should veto it and we have to, as a municipality, pick up that $400,000 or whatever it is, school bond debt for the year. Any other discussion? Member Meachie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, for me, it's like the governor and the legislature have kind of backed us into a corner, and this is kind of the only responsible thing we can do to kind of take care of our financial house. And by doing this, we take care of ourselves, not too concerned about what the governor does, but, I've said from day one that we can't really say what the governor and legislature is going to do, but we certainly can take care of our own stuff by dealing with this amendment to the ordinance. So I'm going to be voting for this.
Okay, any other discussion on the amendment?
Yeah.
Member Lynn?
I think where I come from is I'd rather wait and have a special meeting and see what happens on this particular issue. So I'll be voting no.
Okay, Member Verhol.
I'm with Bob on this one. I think I'd rather wait and see where things are. So I'm going to vote no as of right now. Not because I don't think it's responsible in the long run, but I just would like a little bit more time.
Yeah, if remember, this is just one amendment to the budget in its third reading that we're discussing, and that's to...
So, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to jump in just to reiterate. We would still be having a special meeting for the mill rate in the future, maybe hopefully not until the 24th. And hopefully by then the state will come to their decision and we'll just approve a lower mill rate that doesn't include this. And this way we just don't have to take care of we don't have to worry about the budget piece of it. So I just wanted to reiterate that is what we're talking about.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Manager, you have a comment?
I wanted to walk through what Jody said just to sure that we're all on the same page. So if the Assembly approves the budget with the increased mill rate and can meet on the 24th, then what could potentially happen is you pass the higher mill rate, you actually meet on the 24th, so the budget, as Jody said, would be taken care of at that point. You meet on the 24th, and at that point, you change the mill rate because we've heard that the governor is not going to pass it. That the mill rate resolution will then be lowered, and this tax increase does not go into place. Am I saying that right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, well, correct me so that they can hear it.
you said that the governor isn't going to pass it.
Sorry,
you mean
okay.
He isn't going to veto it.
Yes. Correct. So
thank you.
If you voted that way, the budget would be squared away, and so if you met on the 24th, all you're dealing with is setting the tax rate at that point, and just the mill rate, not the budget anymore.
Exactly. Just to reiterate what Jay and Jeff said.
Yeah,
just the most fiscally conservative, responsible thing to do is take care of our bills in case the state doesn't do it themselves.
Thank you. I was just going to add that I think it is for those who had stated they were going to vote no to the amendment. I encourage them to reconsider that because we're not locked into anything. We can lower it on the 24th. This is a good, prudent, defensive measure that allows us to move forward, and then we can do whatever we want with the mill rate later on. This is a good, defensive move, so I encourage them to vote yes on it.
And I'll talk about it. I guess I could talk about it here, but I'm still... we hear we can't wait to see what the state does, the legislature or the governor, but that's could drastically affect our bottom line. And I'm kind of concerned about putting more of a burden on the the rate payers by raising their millage rate. And I guess we have to at some point, if we can't just use some of the money we have put away without paying it back, if it's all going to be a loan, then that kind of a doesn't make sense. But I was under the assumption that if we voted to, we could use, not that I'm advocating for this, but we could use some of the money we had put aside for secure rural schools. Is that a misunderstanding, Jody? It has to be paid back?
Yes, we can borrow it, but according to our attorney, you know, that fund is a borough wide fund, an area-wide fund, and this debt service is only for service area one. So she thinks that it needs to just be a loan.
Yeah, because I've asked that question before of the administration. That was yes, but I guess we've got new information now.
That was our conversation this morning with her.
Member Lynn?
Yeah, that was my understanding also from talking to the attorney, is that at some point we have to pay it back. So if that would... And if the governor chose to take out the bond, or we'd still have to pay bond debt for the whole amount, then we got a double whammy. And I agree with Jody on that. I prefer not to give that to the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're back on the amendment to move to adjust the property tax levy to account for the state's portion of the school bond debt reimbursement if they don't pay for it. So with the last part of the discussion, I'm kind of more on the fence and then voting in favor of this. Not that our budget wouldn't move forward if this wasn't approved. It just, we wouldn't just have another amendment. So, Member Merle?
I just want clarification. This is just, we're just allocating where the money is going to come from if that's, right? That's all this is doing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, clerk call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, so that amendment passes. Back to the main motion, the fiscal year 1920 budget. And there was one other recommended motion in here by the clerk, or by, not by the clerk, by the finance director, I believe, for the wash truck. Is that your?
Oh, yes. This is from the Public Works Department, our motor pool department. Last year, the Borough Assembly approved the purchase and replacement of a Public Works wash truck in the fiscal year 2019 motor pool budget. Because of the extended lead time in getting the wash truck, it will not arrive until the following fiscal year 2020. Therefore, the expense needs to be transferred to the following fiscal year.
So when I read this, my question was, can we just not take any action on this, don't buy the truck, and then just put it in the 2020-21 budget? Or since it's in the budget already, we have to remove it or move it forward? Am I making any sense?
We have to move it forward. It was already approved once in last year's budget. It's just there was a long lead time. I don't know. Chris probably has more information on the details.
Yeah, the truck looked like it was going to be a 10 to 12 month lead item, and so you know, it's really something that it was already approved last year, like Jody said. However, you know, it's such a long time to procure that equipment that we need to basically shift that funding forward 1 year, because we won't be able to spend that funding by the end of FY19.
So we're just holding the money for another year then if we adopt this amendment.
Great, but someone needs to make a motion if we're going to,
I'm kind of curious why we're doing it, but I guess maybe it's a technicality where we have to.
It is just a paperwork.
Okay. All right.
In that case, I would move. Sorry, Ms. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
I would move to transfer the $115,000 expense for the Public Works wash truck from the current year's motor pool budget to the fiscal year 2020 motor pool budget.
Second.
Okay, Member Mucci made the second. Motion's been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Mucci, to move $115,000 to next year's motor pool budget for the purchase of a wash truck. Discussion? Seeing none, clerk call the roll on the second amendment today.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, so that amendment passes. I don't see any other amendments suggested. Is there any assembly members that have amendments to the third reading of the budget they'd like to present? Member Lynn.
I have a question first. Is the intent on this budget, as soon as we approve it after this meeting, to fill the two EMT and the officer position, or is the intent to hold off until we get a final budget?
I can tell you what my intent is, but the full answer to your question is, what is the assembly plan? So my intent would be to hold until we know, particularly raw fish tax. It's such a huge hole in our budget if we don't get it, and we keep hearing that we are going to get it. That's good news, but I'd kind of like to see the governor's signature on that before we take away all flexibility to balance the budget. But again, that's entirely up to the assembly. I can't. Okay. My intent versus what the assembly wants to do can be two different things. So.
All righty. Well, then I'd like to make a motion to keep the funding in the budget for the EMT and the police officer position, but don't fill those positions until future approval by the assembly.
Like it, no.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Lynn and seconded by Member Morrell. I have a question on the motion and the amendment. Can we, if we vote on this and the vote is to approve the amendment presented by Member Lynn to not fill the positions, the Assembly could bring it back up and change that, correct? At the next meeting or two meetings out? Or
sure.
Okay. Member Stanton-Gregor?
Point of clarification, like, we could come back and change, like...
Well, but this would make it be, it would say that we could not fill those positions until we bring it back before the Assembly. But if an Assembly member wants to talk about it before we know anything, they can bring it back up and put it on an agenda, and it'll be talked about again.
Voted on again, potentially.
Sure.
Could be.
Thanks.
Any other discussion on this proposed amendment? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think during this discussion about filling these two positions, I think we all kind of, at one time, thought it was a good idea to wait to see what the raw fish tax thing was, component was, before we went ahead and hired a couple of positions. And I think that's always been my intention, is to make sure we could afford those two positions without just go ahead and blankly filling them just because we said so in the budget. I think we need to, when the budget picture gets finalized from the state, we see what the raw fish tax is, and if we can afford those positions, then we kind of move forward. But all that stuff happens with, you know, it always kind of comes back to us. And anyway, but yes, I'm voting for that.
Okay, so any other discussion on this amendment? And the amendment, just for everybody's clarification, the public listing is to keep the EMS position and the sergeant's position in the budget as proposed, but just for the finance part of it, but don't fill the positions until we know what the state's budget is, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct.
Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, that passes with a 6-1 vote, with the mayor voting no. So now we've got that amendment voted for approval. Any other discussion or amendments proposed to the third reading of this year's budget? Okay. Member Norham?
I would like to make an amendment to change the pay of assembly members to $75 per meeting. Just the assembly members, not the mayor's pay, if that makes a difference. And the reason being, we would save $10,800 a year in the borough. We're trying to save money, right? So there's $10,800 a year. We just cut,
Yeah, we need a second.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Did you second the motion, member?
I did not.
Is there a second for the motion to reduce the...
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second
okay,
that.
Okay, sorry about that. I lost track. We got a motion been made by Member Norheim, seconded by Member Mucci, to reduce the pay of the assembly to $75 per meeting. Okay, Taylor, sorry. Discussion.
No, that was my fault.
That was your fault.
So you would save $10,800 a year by doing this. we're trying to save money wherever we can, to the point that was made last time about costs of getting to the meetings. I can get from Petersburg to Grief Island, which is out by Assemblymember Lynn's cabin, or to Thomas Bay and back for $75. So there's the cost right there of going to and fro to the meetings. I didn't know we got paid for this when I put my name in to join, and it wasn't a deterrent knowing that it would cost me money or time to do this. I just think if we're really trying to save money here, why would we cut from, I don't know, the radio station $3,000 out of their budget, but then you won't cut here? I mean, $75, it's not a lot of money. You're not deterring anybody from doing this.
And let me get clarification. The motion was to reduce it to $75, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Member Lynn?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to that. It cost me $30 round trip, each trip. And as representative to the hospital board and several of the others, and any time I come in to meet with constituents, I got $30 round trip. And it doesn't take very much. I get $120 pay each meeting and it for 2 weeks, and it doesn't take very long to eat that up, and the rest comes out of my own pocket. So I'm not totally in favor of this.
Member Merle.
All right. Speaking of that as well, I don't get paid vacation. So every time that I come to any meeting, I take time off, whether it's during the day, whether it's a special meeting or not. So not all of us are self-employed, and not all of us have pay or jobs where we get vacation time or whatever else. And no, I didn't take this job or because I get $150 a meeting, but it helps balance things out.
Any other discussion on this proposed amendment? Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Jay?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
No.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, that amendment fails on a 4-3 vote. So that gets us back to the main motion, and that's for approving the 2019-20 budget. Any discussion on the main motion? I'd like to explain myself on this vote. I'm going to vote no for the budget. And the reason I'm going to vote no is because I'm not in favor of having funding in place for three things on the budget. The first one is the EMS position, the second one is the police position, and the third is for the petrol land swap. So I will not be voting in favor of this budget as amendment, just for clarification. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, the budget passes in its third and final reading with a 6-1 vote, with the mayor voting no. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is ordinance 2019-04. Before we get started, does anybody want a 5-minute break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's take a 5-minute break.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
O'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg with a live broadcast of the Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting. They're just in a 5-minute recess and returning with a little bit left on their agenda. We have a message to Mike Hamer and Grace. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding, June 20th. That's from Mom in Kaufman Cove. That's from Ethel. And happy birthday today to Avery Sakamoto, Naomi Youngberg, Oscar Olson, Shane Lohr, Kirsten Lewis, and Tina Lynch. Happy birthday. Reminder that the school district is offering a summer food service program. Meals are provided to all children at no cost, Monday through Friday. There's a breakfast being served in the high school from 8:30 to 9:30, Monday through Friday. That's breakfast from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. And there's a lunch at the public library over the noon hour, Monday through Friday. And that is offered at the public library, with the exception of Wednesday, when the lunch is served from 12:30 to 1:30. And for more information, contact the school district at 877-526-7656, and then it's extension 4. And aside from free lunch and breakfast for all kids in the community, adults may join the meal as well for a mere $5 fee. Hospital Guild Charity Box is open until 4 o'clock today. It's open each Monday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. throughout summer. And the Charity Box is located right next door to the Visitor Center near 1st and Fram Streets. And the proceeds from the sales of the assorted items that are there, they benefit Petersburg Medical Center through the Petersburg Hospital Guild. Ukulele lessons are available for kids in grades 3 through 6 at the public library every Monday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 o'clock. And this is on a walk-in basis with a ticket. And the tickets are available to pick up at the library starting at 3 o'clock. And that's going on today. And the best practices for hiking in bear country is the topic of the discussion on Talk of Alaska, a statewide call-in program airing on KFSK tomorrow at 10 a.m. And the school board meets tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock in the high school library. KFSK will broadcast the school board meeting live tomorrow evening. We'll also provide a call-in program with school officials tomorrow afternoon at 12:30. There's also a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Assembly Chambers. The agenda includes consideration of zoning map for Service Area 1, also amendments to the Development Code, and then there are consideration for 3 personal property applications. The full agenda is available on the KFSK online community calendar and also on the borough website.
It's 2019-04, if I'm not mistaken, and it's an ordinance amending Chapter 9.28, and that's titled Fireworks, of the Borough Code to update language and declare its application within Service Area 1 only. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Walter, seconded by Member Barole. Any discussion? Member Norheim.
I had an amendment to make to it, and it was... It had to deal with advertisements, and I wanted to remove the words advertise from it.
What section is that?
That's what I'm looking for right now.
It was under the display for sale type stuff.
Display for sale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, display.
Okay, it's under the sale prohibited. It shall be unlawful to advertise.
Chief, could you give the section, and then we'll let Mr. Norheim. He needs to make the...
It's 9.28.030.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, and we just wanted to remove the wordage for advertise in case the amendment fails, or the overall amendment fails, that an individual won't be fined $500 for putting an advertisement in the newspaper. It was just a clarifying point so that there wasn't any gray areas on if people would get fined for advertising for sales outside of Service Area 1.
Okay. Debbie, do you see in there the exact words?
I do not see advertise in 030. That's all been removed. And the red wording, I do not see the word advertise.
I don't either.
I think it was in the old wording that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Or we must have been looking at an old one then.
Okay. Yeah, it's not in there.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's not there.
Do we need to take a short break, and or do we see that it's not applicable?
No, it's in the old language.
So that's in the old language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the old one then?
It's got a line through it, right?
Yeah.
That means it's being removed.
Okay.
Right.
More good.
Okay, so we have no proposed amendment?
No.
Okay. So, any other discussion on Ordinance 2019-04? Member Walter, then Member Mucci.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I'd like to make an amendment to, after talking to the gentleman that just came up and gave us a testimony there. He would like to see, and so would I, an opportunity for a special group or a use permit any time of the year, for like if there was a wedding or whatever was going to happen, birthday party or something, where they'd have to get permission from the fire department and the police department to be able to set off some fireworks for a specific length of time. So let's see how I can amend that, make that an amendment. Allow for a special use permit with the approval of the fire department and the police department.
I'll second that.
Okay, so Debbie, where would the appropriate place in the ordinance be? I mean, you could fit it in.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. So this is hinging on if the ordinance passes in its entirety.
Correct, and this is its third reading. Right. So,
okay. So, any other discussion on the amendment? And is to add a special use permit for special events.
I do have something on that. With what you guys are talking about, you're talking about a special use permit for consumer fireworks. That means the ones that you can purchase from the fireworks stand, because the display fireworks are the ones you have to have the permit from the state from. So
I would suggest that we add consumer into the...
Yes, so let's add consumer to that.
Differentiate between having to have a specialist or someone licensed or whatever that would be. Does that make sense? Does the assembly understand we're adding that word consumer fireworks in there? Any other discussion on the amendment? Member Norheim.
I guess to the gentleman's point, amend it to put the third back in there.
That's a separate amendment. So, we're voting or we're discussing this amendment to add a special use permit for consumer fireworks for people to shoot off fireworks in special events, birthdays, etc. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, that amendment passes with unanimous vote. Member Norheim, you had a proposed amendment?
Yes, to put the third back in. So it would be the 31st, the 3rd, and the 4th.
I'll second that.
Okay, and I'm not sure what the last amendment said, but it's the amendment Member Norheim is proposing is to add the 3rd back into one of the, it would be 3 days of the year, the 3rd, 4th of July, and the 31st of December, and that would be the hours we've talked about, whatever they were, noon to midnight or noon to 1 a.m. or whatever it was. So
it was noon to 1 a.m.
Okay. Member Van Greger.
Yeah, similar to I spoke last time, I'll be voting no for this, not because I don't like fireworks, I most certainly do, but I can go out of my boat or use them in service outside of service area 1. Whenever we're changing rules and regs in the borough, I feel like we need a compelling reason to do so, and this, the way that formally stood, a couple I felt were fairly disingenuous arguments were made last time saying that cops would be, if we kept it illegal in service area 1, cops would not be doing DUI arrests, or if we made it legal, there'd be more DUI arrests and more drug arrests. You know, that's kind of an insulting argument, I think, to the police department. Whether fireworks are legal or illegal, the cops do their job and focus on the important things. But I don't see any compelling reason to add another day to this. So I'll be voting no.
Any other discussion on the amendment to add the 3rd of July back into this ordinance? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Okay, that passes the 6-1 vote with Member Stanton Greger opposed. That brings us back to the main motion as amended. Any other discussion on the main motion? Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Nope.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes in its third and final reading with a 5-2 vote with the mayor and Member Stanton Greger opposed. That brings us on to the next item on the agenda, and that's new business. First item is 19-10. For 2019-10, a resolution setting the millage rate for fiscal year July 1st, 2019 through June 30th, 2020. Entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
I moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Walhorter. Discussion. And this is to Ms. Thompson.
Go ahead, if Brandy wants to go first.
No.
Okay, so this is the reason we were talking about the special meeting later this week or the 24th. So now's the time to determine, are we going to have a quorum on the 24th? Or will we have a quorum any time next week? And if we will not, then we have to keep it this week, this Thursday. At least Right. It'll give us a few more days.
So we're talking about calendars again.
Yes.
I won't be here on the 24th.
Okay. And
if I am, it won't be for long.
And as far as me in person, I won't be. I may or may not be able to call in. I'm not sure yet, but I won't be here in person.
Okay.
Quorum factor.
I will be here.
I will be here also.
Past the 16th, I would be pretty much not here.
Okay.
And
there's
also
no guarantee.
Could not call in. I would really doubt I'd be able to call in.
No guarantee for me on the 24th, because Mondays are never any good for Tenderman. The fisheries opens on Sunday, you know, and then goes through Tuesday, Wednesday. Best thing for me would be a Thursday, maybe Friday morning, because then I'm on the grounds again. So
it looks like we won't have a quorum.
Yep.
Odds are on the 24th, so that brings us back to potentially the meeting on Thursday at 4:30.
Or next week. Member Mucci, are you here Thursday and Friday of next week? According to your schedule, you are?
Sounds good.
I would be here for that.
Would that be the 20th or the 21st? Is that what we're talking?
Correct.
I wouldn't be here in person, but I could probably call in one of those days if need be.
So we need four bodies.
So we would have Kurt in person. We would have
Jeff,
Bob, Randy, and Taylor.
Unreliable.
You're gone after the 16th. Okay. And you can't call in. And Jay maybe could call in. How about Mark? Would you be able to call in?
I can't. Well, maybe. But I would say no.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're grabbing. Yeah.
So that's technically the test, Jody. What do you think?
The longer we can wait, the better, you know, to see what the state does. So if you're
then
in...
I guess,
can we push it back longer? Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. I guess we need a motion to... postpone this if we want to until pick a date, right?
Is
that
correct.
Where we're going?
That is where we're going.
Member Stattinger.
Just a point of clarification, since we're pushing it back anyway past the June 15th, et cetera, like how far can we push this back at this point? We're looking, the idea is to get a quorum and see what the state's going to do. How much flexibility do we have?
I need to calculate the tax bills and print them and get them ready for mail.
Yeah.
I would say the 25th. Drop that date.
Yeah. Make one more.
Yeah.
So, how many bodies we're going to be here on the 20th or the 21st? That we had.
There would be four bodies, and you and maybe Colin.
I'd call in if it'd help, like get another body, like another voting member on there. It's not gonna be. I can't see it being a super long thing.
You guys.
I don't want to say that, but.
Okay.
I can call in.
If that works for the four that will be here, let's have them pick a time.
Well, what's...
Thursday or Friday, 20th or 21st.
4:30 is best for me.
4:30?
Okay.
On which day?
I'd be okay with that.
Whichever.
Pick a day.
Okay, let me look at Jeff's schedule really quick again. Yes, it says he'll be here the 20th. Should we go Thursday the 20th at... Or should it be the 21st, Jody? Latest as possible.
Sure.
Friday the 21st.
If you guys can be there, that's all I need.
Friday the 21st at 4:30.
Friday.
That's fine.
Okay.
I need to put that.
Friday. So now we need a motion to.
Jack, that was just gonna.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Got it from here.
I would make a motion to postpone this. Sorry, let me pull this up. Setting the mill rate until a special meeting of to be held on Friday, June 21st at 4:30 p.m. Does that work, Clerk Thompson?
Yes.
All right.
A motion's been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Mushi, to postpone the vote on setting the mill rate for this year until a meeting on the 21st of June at 4:30 p.m. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
And just, you know, I won't be here to vote, probably. I mean, I'm not going to be here in person. I might be able to call in. But I want to get clarification from the finance director, if I could, Jody.
Uh-huh.
So we adjust the mill rate up to 13 mils.
Yeah, 13.14
mils. We adjust the mill rate up. The governor doesn't veto it. We've taxed the people. They've paid the money. Goes into a pool. How do the people get reimbursed for paying, being overtaxed?
Well, they don't get the money back. It goes into the debt service fund that we have, and it'll be applied to perhaps next year's taxes.
Do they get a lower millage rate the following year because they paid too much?
They very well could. It depends, again, what the state does next year, like if they decide to do the same thing or withhold.
Okay, let me add to the scenario. The state does pay the school bond indebtedness the following year.
Yeah.
So do we lower the millage rate back down and give the people back the money?
Yes, we would lower the mill rate down.
Enough to get them reimbursed for the money they paid?
Yes, essentially. If the budget did not increase for some other reason, yes.
Okay, just what I wanted to know, if they got...
Do we get our money back?
Taxed, yeah, I mean, exactly.
Well, yeah.
So if it doesn't end up, I know it can't disappear out of that fund, but I don't want it to stay in the fund for the people paying the taxes. Anyway, that clarifies it in my mind. New business. Okay. 19239. SEPA's annual operations plan. This is mainly just, I wanted to put it on here for a potential action item if we wanted to take action. I know we have the both the voting member and the non-voting member on the SEPA board present at the meeting. I don't know how we do this. It's not really a discussion, and we need a motion to discuss it. So I'd entertain, I would assume, don't we? Kind of sticky. I'll entertain a motion to approve SEPA's annual operations plan for 2019-20.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay, to have to take action if we need to, we have to have a motion on the floor.
Okay, I'm going. I'm confused. Go ahead.
Okay, who made the motion?
I did.
Okay, and who made the second?
Me.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Morrell. And let me, I asked for this to be on here, and the reason I asked to have it on here is because I would like the assembly to discuss, maybe not take action, but to have the opportunity to take action to make sure, I don't know how you can make sure, but to try to alleviate what happened last year by wheeling too much power south and then having to burn diesel. This year we did get paid back. Not yet, but I guess we're going to get paid back. But we're not going to get paid back for the lube oil we used, which was $30,000. I just want to protect the ratepayers of Petersburg on their electrical rates. Member Stan Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I guess I'm a little confused. How do you propose protecting the ratepayer?
Well, I would, you know, with a drought, like the manager's report said, that we're in a drought. The lakes, Tahi Lake, has filled. So it sounds like, from the manager's report, the snowpack is going away, so the lake rising is slowing.
Yep.
So if we get to a point, and I guess the new operations plan, I haven't read it in depth. Member Lynn gave a presentation at the two meetings ago, I guess it was. The lake level will have to be higher before we start shipping power to Ketchikan, and that's where our problem came in last year, is we sold too much power to Ketchikan, and then there was a drought. The lakes didn't fill up, so we had to burn diesel. I just am very concerned that we don't end up in that situation again, because if the board of directors at SEPA voted to not pay for the diesel in a situation like that, if it were to occur again, we would have to have a diesel surcharge. Am I correct in assuming that? So I just want to, you know, I know from being on the SEPA board in the past, you're there to, you know, protect SEPA as a entity, so they need to sell power to make money. But you're also there, I think, to protect your ratepayers in your community. So, anyway.
To follow up point of clarification, like, so how would you like to do that? Like, what are you, I guess,
I guess,
like I'm missing the point, maybe, of what you're proposing we do. Sorry.
I would suggest we don't ship any power south unless the lake is way full. And I don't know what way full means, but over a certain level.
Got it. Just so I know what we're talking about. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I made the motion to get it on the table, but I'm a little confused. Is this, I mean, the SEPA representatives that are in the room, they would, I hope, would give us some direction on the operational plan, and hopefully the operational plan would have been in here if we were going to take action on them. And I'm trying to sort out what action item we're supposed to vote on, Mr. Mayor.
I put it on here mainly as a discussion topic.
Okay.
As an action item, in case we decide there was action to be taken, that would defer to the voting member, Mr. Lynn.
Yeah.
That's what his position is on.
Yeah. I'm confused here a little bit, too. But three meetings ago, I talked about I'd put on the table at the board of directors meeting asking to take a look at what needed to be done for Wrangell and Petersburg to make sure that we have sufficient water in that reservoir to take care of our interests in the wintertime. At the time, I was thinking, and as I presented, I was thinking of a flat line saying that, well, we'd have 40 additional feet in there, plus or minus. SEPA's employees took a look at that and came up with what I thought was a much better idea. And what they did was is that they looked at our use by month. And we in Wrangell and Ketchikan, but we in Wrangell's use particularly for Tyee since that dedicated to us. And they said, well, in order to protect our interests down the road for the winter months, we needed X amount, and I won't go into the details. And they did this by month, and they said, well, if we maintained it at this level, and that varied some, if we maintained it at this level, then power could be sold south from that point on. So they put together a plan, and Robert Larson and Carl and I have spent considerable amount of time going over that plan, and I think Carl sent it to everybody for comment, you know, and I think Carl put together with our thoughts about a 6-7 page memo that went back to SEPA, and what's going to be voted on, and they're looking at adjusting that plan to make sure there's sufficient water in there. What's going to go on at that in the June 20th meeting is that we'll look at that operation plan and vote whether we want to continue on it. After I've looked at that in detail, and I'd let either Robert or Carl jump in here, is that I'm satisfied that we've got our needs as best we possibly can with the way they've done it covered. I think they've done a very credible job. One that said, let me go back to last year. SEPA's attorney tells me that there was absolutely no legal reason that they had to pay us for our diesel burn. And I will have to say that both and Ketchikan voted with us to pay us back. And so I think that with the plan we have on board, if there is excess water over above that, I think we have to allow that staff the opportunity to adjust those reservoirs and to bring those generators up to a power level which maximizes the electricity out of them. And so I'm much in favor of what's there now. And if you'll take a look at those papers I think that Carl sent out, I think they've done a very credible job. There's a couple other questions I think the three of us have that we have to resolve, but other than that, I think we're okay. My confusion comes is that as your member and looking at that, I think we've done a very credible job of reviewing it and protecting our interests here. I can't say, you know, if that weather changes out there and it gets drier, that all that water in those reservoirs is going to be preserved. And all that water in those reservoirs under a very dry year ain't going to take care of ours and Wrangell's need. We're going to be running diesel. There's just no way around it, even if we preserved everything that was in there. But I'm pretty comfortable with what they came up with. It's much more sophisticated than I had originally thought.
So you're comfortable it's a lot better planned than last year's?
Oh my gosh, day and night difference.
That was my concern. That's why I wanted to have this discussion. So
yes, it's very much so. I'm very pleased with what they come up with, and they're going to make a few. I know they're going to make a few other changes. I know we didn't get paid back for all the oil we burned, and when we made the motion in there, I didn't even think of the oil until Carl hit me over the head with it a little bit later, or I'd had that in the motion, but I missed it, and I apologize for that, but I did miss it. I didn't realize we had burned that much oil in our generators.
Okay, well, let's hope that when the vote comes up on the 19th and it passes through the SEPA board.
Yeah.
Because what I understand that from discussion with Mr. Hageman that SEPA was, or Ketchikan was already asking if there was any power could be shipped south to them, and I don't think we're up to the proposed new.
No. And
I don't think they got the lights on. I don't think they got it.
Yeah, it will not be shipped south. if we can put that guide curve into place, it will not be shipped south till we get above that at all.
Okay, that's what I wanted to come out of this discussion, so I appreciate it. Any other discussion? So I guess this item is closed. There's no motion to take any action, or there was. So I guess
no reason.
No reason to vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is joint work session with the hospital board. Remember, I'd entertain a motion to schedule a date for that.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Lynn. Member Mucci asked to have this on the agenda, so you could speak to it.
Yes, I did, Mr. Mayor. I just, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it'd be nice to sit down with the hospital board and kind of see what where they're headed at this point, some of the discussions that they're having, just so that we can be a little better informed as the progress of what's going on with their plans up with the hospital. And I don't know the best way to do that, but if we want to get a doodle poll together or whatever, and just...
Member Lynn?
Yeah. And I've talked... Phil and I have talked about this, and we agree there needs to be a meeting with the hospital board. You know, they've gone into the master planning, and I think they've taken some really good steps here to proceed. And we're at a point we probably, the assembly needs to, you know, hear some of the discussion that's going on there and with the hospital board. But if we're going to do that, I really believe there at least needs to be at least five or six of the assembly available, and I would say the same for the hospital board. So whether it's a doodle poll or however you want to do it, but I don't think it's going to happen till fall, but I think it needs to occur.
I had a discussion with Mr. Hofstetter, the CEO of Petersburg Medical Center, on our break, and he was thinking fall-ish would be a better time, too. So I believe we're required by code, aren't we, by charter, to have one joint meeting a year with the hospital board, but more than that's fine. I mean, this is an important discussion we need to have. Does that work? Could we plan something for Member Mucci?
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to kind of get it out there that I'm kind of keep hearing about it in the community, and I think people are concerned about stuff, and I thought it'd be good to get it out there. Fall's fine, but sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
So,
would you like me to do a doodle poll then for maybe?
Member Stanton Gregor?
Sorry, just one other suggestion.
Oh, sorry, Jay. Oh,
you're all right, Debbie. Is sometime after October 1st, there's three seats up for election this year, and let's say all three seats turned over and you had the meeting at the end of September, it would be, wouldn't make a whole ton of sense. So food for thought, maybe early October.
Okay, the clerk is working on it. We're in good hands. Communications, there's no items under communications. Assembly discussion items, I asked to have a discussion on the borough and petrol land exchange. And one of the reasons I wanted to have the discussion is the manager wasn't there at the last vote. I have no intention of asking to have the action that was taken at the last meeting rescinded. I just wanted a little bit of clarification for myself, but leading up to the last meeting, I'd had conversations with the manager, and one of my ideas or thoughts was to put a new little building of some kind on a piece of borough-owned property. In other discussions, it was kind of, with the manager, it was kind of related to me that there would be a possibility that it could potentially go at the piece of borough-owned property, maybe even at Public Works. And there was an email chain that I had the manager send to all of us that were the conversation between Streve and Mr. Cotta and Mr. Hagerman and the harbor master. And, you know, there was potentially land available at the Public Works, but it'd take some rearranging and not a good idea or not a best idea, but it was never said that it couldn't happen. I don't know if we explored that thoroughly. So, and I just kind of wanted to ask the manager what he thought of the whole land swap.
It's clear that it'd be tight, but yes, I believe we could put the shop in the Public Works yard. The downside is it costs us a lot more money up front to do that. And we'd have to move things around, to make it fit. But yes, I continue to say that it could, if that's what the assembly wanted. I think we've all heard the cons from the Harbor Group about, the distance and location. And I think Public Works has some concerns about, getting squeezed on space. But yes, I think it could go there.
So anyway, if anyone want to chime in? Discussion member Stanton Gregor?
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This is more semantics, but I get a little hung up on the could versus should.
We could tear down Public Works and put a harbor building there, but we shouldn't. And I'm being dramatic to illustrate the point, though, in terms of we can do lots of things. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the right move. And that's why I think the vote went down the way it did on the land swap is I think it makes the most sense. None of them are perfect, but that one makes the most sense. But, yeah, we could do lots of things. Doesn't mean we should. That's all.
Any other discussion? Member Lynn?
Yeah, I've thought about this in a long time, and you know I'm quite against it. I think we made a couple errors on this. One is I think we should have looked at an independent analysis of what we should do without doing all the numbers, because I've seen at least 8 set of numbers on this thing in hindsight. The second part of that is that the question was, it didn't hit me until recently, was we're talking about upfront costs versus costs that would spread out over time. And one of the things we did not do is we didn't do a look at funding that a new facility or something like that, how we could do that up front. And that was a mistake, I think, on our part, or at least my part. And with that, I'll stop.
Any other input? Okay, seeing none on discussion items. That brings us to discussion item B, and that is services outside service area 1. And this discussion was requested by Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just trying to get a better handle on what services are provided within service area 1, outside service area 1, and for the folks who live out at Frederick Point. I mean, I've seen several different sheets about this component and this component. Would it be possible to just get a spreadsheet of what people pay for and what services they're providing within the service area, outside the service area, and Frederick Point?
Through the mayor. Yes. Yes, I'm hesitating. The charter clearly outlines what services we're allowed to do on an area-wide basis, meaning throughout the entire borough, and those that must be done by service area. So, for example, we're not supposed to provide fire and police services outside of service area 1 without a service area being formed. Now, you know, we do that as a kind of a courtesy in an emergency if we have available resources. You know, we do it in emergency situations if we're asked by a trooper or something else. So there's a whole list of things like that. But where I get hung up on this question is there's not necessarily specific costs associated with that. So, you know, we don't charge a specific fee to people outside service area 1 for police response. We just do it in certain circumstances. Frederick Point East, and I got have the subdivision right, Liz, Carl? The one that's up there that's paying 10 mils and...
That's North.
Thank you. Frederick Point North, that predates borough formation, was annexed into the city of Petersburg. So then when borough was formed, they're taxed at a full, you know, the full mill rate that Service Area 1 pays. Yet, that's an area that has very, very limited services.
Actually, East is in
Service
Area 1, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Both
of them are. One of them is on the road system. The other is not.
East is not.
That's what I thought. Okay. So there's an example. So East is getting the full Service Area 1 tax rate, and there's no road system out there. I wasn't here when it literally predates borough formation. So I don't know what the community decided when those things were done. We can research that and try to, you know, talk to folks who've been around a little bit and figure that out. But back to it, there's not necessarily a breakout of we provide road service and it costs this much. So that's where I try to – I have a hard time answering your question, I guess.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I understand that. I'm not asking how much it costs to maintain a road, but if the borough is plowing snow out at Frederick Point North, and out at outside service area one, all I'm looking for is what services are provided.
Okay.
So that I can compare. It would help me compare inside, outside, and Frederick Point North.
We can do that.
Member Lim?
Yeah. When we, right after the borough was formed, we went through a process where we documented and we asked folks to come forward at what services they wanted. We went through, was about a 3-4 month period we did that, asking what services were provided, what they wanted at the time. And what came out of that was there was very few additional services, if I recall, that people wanted. They wanted to continue what was there, but I don't remember at the time whether that we never did document what was already provided, other than what was in the come out of the Boundary Commission report. Am I correct on that? Do you remember?
I can look through files, but I don't remember. But I can see what we have on the file.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm not trying to make a lot of work for staff. I'm just trying to get a better handle on what services are provided. I understand what, you know, I know what services I get out of my house, but it's different for the people who live outside Service Area 1 as opposed to what they're getting at Frederick Point North. I'm just trying to understand how that all works, and I don't have a good understanding. And I don't want to make a lot of work for city staff. I'm just trying to understand what.
Member Norheim?
I guess, are you suggesting creating separate service areas or looking at that, or just?
Member Mucci?
I think there's a long way to go before we get to creating a new service area. I don't totally understand who's getting what service and what mill rate they're paying for. If people are paying the same mill rate at Frederick Point East as I am, and that, or North, it seems like there's an inequity somewhere. Mm. And I'm just trying to sort it out.
Okay, any other input on discussion item on service area or service outside of service area one? Okay, seeing none. Next discussion item is summer meetings, and I believe the clerk asked to have this on the agenda, request this agenda item. Yes, she did, to attempt to determine if there will be a quorum for the June 17th, July 1st, 16th, August 5th, and August 19th regular meetings. I could chime in first. Highly unlikely I will be here.
Okay.
And like Member Walhooter stated earlier, and I've asked for this to happen in the past, is have meetings in the summer, possibly on a Thursday. I hate to keep messing up the schedule, but we have 3 members on the assembly currently that are fishermen, 2 of them tendermen, and I don't know if Mr. Walhooter tenders for gillnet fish or what he does, but Member Norheim tenders for salmon, gillnet salmon, and I gillnet fish, and the openings are Sunday to Tuesday. Generally in town on a Thursday, it's a regroup day. So that's just, I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have as far as input on those meeting dates you've put up there. Any other input from assembly members? Member Mucci, she has your schedule, I guess. So.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. August 5th might be tight, but.
Okay.
You do have my schedule. It kind of has all the dates.
Sounds good.
Member Stan Greger.
Clerk Thompson, you've got that I'll be absent from both July meetings.
Correct. And the second meeting in June?
Correct.
So is there interest among the assembly in changing the meeting date? We can't do it here because we can't make a motion, but maybe we could at a special meeting. Or what it looks like to me is I think I would have a quorum on August 19th.
That's enough. Wow.
If it helps, I probably won't be here until the September 16th meeting, it looks
like. Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
Member Waller, you had a...
I was going to say, any Monday meeting for me is out, like Mark said. Thursdays is what he said, is that our regroup day, that's pretty close to awkward for me. You know, so if we moved some of these meetings to Thursday in the middle of the summer, most of us fishermen, you know, that are net fishermen would be home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many meetings in the summer? I know there's always business to take care of, but you know, the budget will be passed. And
so I guess what it would mean, department heads, is that there would be no way to get anything on, well, on the, sorry, on the ballot. But some things can be put on the ballot by resolution, so that would just be one reading, but not everything. So if we...
Mr. Hagerman?
The assembly passed looking at the Blind Slough Hydro project. We've got a big funding question to answer, and so this summer is pretty important to get that issue on the ballot this fall, likely a bonding issue. So it would be really great to have some meetings through the summertime just so that we can work our way through that.
Would it be more like towards the late July, early August time, do you think, Carl? I mean, just if you had to guess.
So
it's an ordinance.
Yes, we would need three readings. I would prefer the last reading be August 19th at the latest. It'd be better if it could be the early meeting in August, but August 19th would work. So that would mean two meetings in July, or at least one meeting in July and two in August, if nothing else.
Go ahead, one. Sure, Member Stan Greger.
Just a quick add that I don't know if you're going to be able to get four bodies in here, but if need be, to have another voice I can call in if need be.
Okay.
But I know it doesn't count towards the quorum.
Thank you.
Yep.
One thing the assembly might consider is you've got a meeting scheduled the 21st at 4:30. Mm-hmm. Do you want to add an agenda item to that meeting to move the meetings to Thursdays for
the summer,
July and August or something like that?
Yeah. I guess we could, someone just asked to add it to that meeting agenda, then isn't that our protocol?
Yep. I can certainly put it on there.
Member Lynn?
So the question I guess I have, if we were moving to Thursday, as the mayor was suggesting, would you have a quorum?
That's a very good question.
Member Norheim.
So I assume, Kurt, as well, Thursday evening would be the most likely time we would be in town. And other than that, because I run to Juneau, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so.
No guarantees for myself either, but that would be the most potentially available time of the week for myself is on a Thursday evening.
Okay. And so, but we would probably have Bob then, probably Taylor, probably Mark, probably Brandy, and probably Kurt. So we might be able to do it. I haven't looked at your schedule.
Well, you'd have Bob and Brandy for sure, I think, and maybe and potentially.
Okay.
And you're back in August?
First meeting in August.
Yeah, unless we have some special one late July. I'll get back, I think, the day after the meeting, second meeting. Oh.
Okay. So I'm going to put it on the next agenda, okay?
Acceptable to me.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a way to move forward, then, you think? Have enough information, Debbie?
Confirm that with them.
Do you have enough information to...
I do.
Try to put something together?
And I will. I'm going to go ahead and just move the June 17th meeting to the June 21st meeting, because that's next Monday. We don't have a quorum.
4 days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okie doke?
Yeah.
Okay. But hopefully it'll be a condensed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kill more birds with one stone. Okay, we have that taken care of. Recognitions. I would just like to reiterate what the manager said earlier, and thank Jim Birch for all his years of service at the harbor. And any other recognitions by staff or by assembly? Seeing none. That takes us into, we need a motion to adjourn into executive session to discuss the borough manager's annual performance evaluation. I'd entertain a motion to do so.
So moved.
There's a second?
Second.
Okay. I'm not sure who made the motion. Member Mucci and seconded by Member Lynn. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. We will take 5 minutes to regroup.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.